Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. After a well-deserved week off in the studio, we have none other than Cynthia Hostwender. Hello, Cynthia.
Happy New Year.
And is that Ann in there as well? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Marshall.
All right. And we have Janet on the line. Janet, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
All right. We're all happy now.
Let's get that out of the way.
Let's get back to the grim reality of life.
That's right. Let's get back to reality. It's January, for goodness sake.
Well, actually, the nice thing about looking at the Lakeville Journal this week, I can't say it about the Millard News because Millard News has more current news mixed into it. But you know what? Not much went on around here, and it's kind of nice just to peruse and look back over the previous year.
Sometimes people have said to me that, you know, because we're a local paper and we cover stuff as it's unfolding, we don't wait until it's resolved, that they feel like they get it through an eyedropper. So this is a nice chance to wrap up some of the stories and remind people sort of where we're at.
And there's some current stories in here, but not much, folks. Much happens over the past 2 weeks. I mean,
which, you know, we're kind of glad about. It means people had time to together with families and friends and relax a little. That's good.
And often at this time of year, there are major fires. There are snow fires. There's no major car crashes, no fatalities.
Yeah, so that was nice.
That's big news.
All right. So now we'll go to the top of the page. Transfer station cost increase accepted by the voters.
So a pretty large increase and went through easily, which I have to say I was a little surprised by, but happy, because I think that part of the reason why the price keeps going up is that it keeps getting delayed, the transfer station for Salisbury and Sharon. So very smooth meeting in Sharon, which had, as Patrick points out, they actually went into great detail about the funding of it and the details of the cost increase. Salisbury, just because of a change in timing in the conversations with the attorney, and a different attorney gave a much briefer presentation, but had some questions, but it passed, and so we're finally going to get moving on that transfer station, and let's hope that we can get it done before more tariffs are imposed and costs go up again.
And it passed in Sharon without a negative vote.
Not a single negative vote. And people turned up, too. It wasn't like one of those four people meetings.
No, and people were worried about Sharon, and the only negative votes really were in Salisbury. There was only nine there.
Right. And both of those are pretty well-attended meetings, so it's not one of those things where people say, oh, I didn't know about the meeting, or it was snowing that day or something.
No. Everybody, there was, I'll tell you what, I'll give both us, Board of Selectmen, Board of Finances in both towns, they kept everybody informed.
Yes,
and I'll remind people that we have this at the top of the front page this week because we didn't publish last week, and the meeting didn't happen until the previous weeks had gone to press. So we had it up online, but we like to get things in the paper, too. It's our paper of record.
All right. Down below it, Cynthia, your story on sex abuse accusations continuing.
So, of course, not our favorite story. And, you know, one thing that we had felt was that there were so many sex abuse lawsuits going on, which I would say, as a local newspaper editor, I feel like I'm becoming unfortunately well-informed about. And it felt like most of them were coming through the private schools and the complexity of boarding schools for young children and the sometimes predatory situations that arise there. But then we have another situation that came up last year with a local recreation director who's being accused of misconduct. So that's hard, and I feel that in that way, there's nothing special about the Northwest Corner. It's just a microcosm of the larger world out there, and it's a very sad thing that there's such a large percentage of it.
It's like we say, if anybody thinks that in life, when you have something like this, predators, if it's just confined to Hollywood, to sports, to private schools, it's not. The percentage is the same throughout the population. When you add it out, everybody's included in that, and the percentages are the same.
Yes.
It's a problem everybody has to deal with.
Yes, and we'll hope that 30 years from now, when the statute of limitation runs out on our current young people, that new cases don't arise. Let's hope that these are all things that are well in our past.
All right. Counting crows and eagles, owls, cardinals, and woodpeckers. This is a bird count, the Trixie Strauss bird count that has been going on well over 30 years.
This is one of the funniest stories in this issue. Deb Alexinas went on so they had it twice. The Trixie Strauss bird count was scheduled for one day, and then the weather was so bad that they rescheduled it. And she went on December 30th, and she just wrote the funniest story about it, but very interesting, and, you know, gave some details on how many birds they saw, which was thousands in one day of counting. So they do an annual census across the country in a one-month period, for and all the Audubon's compile it, and you often, in recent years, you find strange migration patterns, because either there's been a huge storm someplace and it's blown birds off course, which is very interesting. It's not something you think about. Or the weather is changing and you have birds that are either staying here later than normal, or birds that are more of a warm weather bird that are venturing up north for new territory. So one thing that was interesting was how much they all sort of said, oh, another bald eagle. But that's a great thing, that the bald eagles have become so common around here and that the population is so strong that they can almost take it for granted. It's like, ugh. Bears and eagles.
If no one's ever seen it, rent the movie The Big Year. It's a comedy, but it is a very good movie, and there is some truth in it as well, with people who try to see the most birds in one year.
Oh, I've never saw that.
Oh, it's really good. Yeah. I have to agree.
Yeah, and there are people that do that. All right, 2018, a year for speaking truth to power.
This was the year of the march, and I guess there's another march coming up in January that's being organized by some women in Kent. But boy, last year we almost, speaking of bald eagles, it just became like, oh, there's another march coming up. And people really, I think especially last year was really a strong year for women Democrats who really kind of said, this is it. We're speaking out. We're not happy with this. And we want to make our voices heard. And there were marches and sit-ins all over the area. A lot of effort to get students involved, which is a great learning experience for them, I think, and a chance, like our Civic Life Project, to say, hey, your voices matter, and you're the new generation, so let's make sure that you know what's going on, that you're well-informed, and that you express your opinion.
All right, we'll slide over to Maria Horn and Connecticut turning even more blue than it was in the past.
Yes, so again, statewide, a lot of Democrats in office. Locally, a lot of returns of Republican people. And, you know, that's one of the nice things about this area is it tends not to be that partyist. But I'm happy to see Maria Horn in office, and she's been doing an extraordinary job already of keeping us informed and of attending events. And she has a great email blast that she sends out that's really got great information in it. So if you're not on that email blast and you want to be, you can contact her office. She's on Facebook, and you can get in touch there.
And she got some great assignments from the state.
She's on the Appropriations Committee.
Vice Chair. I mean, I know she's got some. She got some great assignments.
Yeah, as she deserves.
Yeah. Wet and wild in the northwest corner, according to Tim Abbott.
I forgot that it was a drought last year. Did you remember that it was a drought last year?
Yeah.
It's hard to even think of that. But so, it's pretty wet out there. And as Pat Pagano lets us know, it's going to be raining for the next week or so. And boy, every time it's a heavy rain, I think, I'm so glad that's not snow. It's just so great. But I'm sorry to all my friends who keep complaining that it's not snow. But believe me, it'll be snowing soon enough.
Before you know it. And the words polar vortex will be stuck in your ear again.
Yeah.
Cricket Valley Energy. That's an amazing place to watch go up.
Oh, my gosh. And we had a great photo that they sent us, which I thought was actually pretty friendly of them, which we didn't end up running. But you don't really need to have a photo. You can just drive by and see it. But I have to say, you know, once what you really see are the cranes. And once the cranes are down and once they fill in the landscaping around it, it won't be kind of the visible blight that it is now. And it's going to be pretty cool and modern. It's going to be very James Bond. And as we recap in our story, you know, the Indian Point nuclear plant has been shut down or is being shut down. And we need to replace that 2,000 megawatts of power. And this plant will provide 1,000.
I just think you rarely get a chance to see a project this big in an area like this.
Yeah.
Actually be put together, because people normally band together to fight it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing to watch the way they're doing it.
And, you know, it's a benefit to the people in the town that it's going into. Yeah. They're getting a huge tax supplement. So.
All right. You've got another story on the front page, creating a sense of safety for the Jewish community.
Right. And as everybody quoted in the article says, if the Jewish people aren't safe, if anybody's not safe in a community, then nobody is safe. And so that's a reminder after the shooting in Pennsylvania. Another one in what's been a really sad series over the last 10, 15 years of mass shootings. But just a reminder that we do have a strong Jewish community here, but that there have been incidents that have made all of us uncomfortable.
All right, page A2. bears, ice jams, car crashes, and a picture of a moose.
You know, all this stuff, it just seems so long ago. But remember those giant ice jams from last year? So it'll be interesting to see if that happens again this year. And the Ice Watch has begun in Kent, which is the annual fundraiser where the fire department sets up a tripod in the river. Theoretically, the river freezes, and then theoretically the river ice breaks up. And then the person who bets on
the closest time
that's registered on the tripod, which is set off when the tripod starts to float down the river again. So we'll see if there's any ice this year. There have been years when there is no ice.
And there have been years when the tripod gets destroyed. And so what they do is they just, when that happens,
they do a drawing.
Yeah.
Which has happened pretty often in the last 10 years.
I want to move on to the ZBA hearing for a while, because this is a thing that's going to drag on for years.
It's gotten super complicated, and so what started is a neighborhood protest against a change in use at an asphalt plant over in East Canaan by the neighbors around it. So even though that is an area with a lot of quarries, and even though a lot of the property owners are quarry families, they do feel strongly that it's kind of peaceful and more agricultural than you would think, and they object to the fact that Ben Metcalf has been doing warm asphalt there, and or what they claim to is that he's doing warm asphalt, and that there's pollution coming up from it, and that it's disturbing the sense of the neighborhood. So that's a lawsuit. But then, meanwhile, the Metcalf people have turned around and are suing the town and saying that there were some improprieties in the way that a ruling was made, and apparently tempers got quite high at the last meeting, and there was some physical activity that followed the meeting in the parking lot. So we'll hope that this resolves, because, you know, these are all small towns and we're all neighbors, and it's hard to watch.
All right. You've got the up and down in Salisbury clearing it to Bend, and a current story, which is open space versus non-open space in Cornwall.
This is a very interesting story. And I have to say, there are actually current stories in here. I mean, there is stuff that went on.
Yep.
But this is a very interesting story that Leela did. And it is a microcosm of a conversation that happens around here, which is preserving land, but also making land available for affordable housing. And you have a couple of very smart people at this meeting sort of very politely sparring about what should happen to a parcel of land and whether or not it merits the price that's being set for it. And at one point, somebody kind of quietly observes, well, the reason why that property is being priced so high that they're offering to you is conserve land is that the price is based on the fact that there are buildable lots. But if you're not going to build on it, then that should significantly lower the cost of it. So in my opinion, no matter what town you live in, this is a very interesting story and worth reading.
All right, I want to, we'll move on. You've got pictures of the walkout by Housatonic Valley Regional High School students. Another story on the changing of guard at area schools. And the community college consolidation.
Yeah, so three very different stories from our area schools. And again, part of the student protest. And I would say, you know, you didn't necessarily get the sense that all of these students knew what they were but they were protesting, but it was great that they, as a group, kind of said, okay, let's go out and have a show of power, and that the school was super respectful about it, and actually the administrator stood out there and made sure that nobody messed with them. You were there that day, Marshall, you remember.
Certainly
that
was,
they were being very, actually, Anne was there with me, too. And but also we have new heads at some of the area schools, new principals, and that seems to be going fairly quietly and smoothly, which is nice to see. And then the community college is continuing to consolidate, and I think that we'll see more and more consolidation, unfortunately, as our population drops and as our economy continues to sputter in the state of Connecticut. Right. But one of my favorite stories from last year was the Laurel Festival, which is something that, you know, our Winsted Journal has always covered, and which we don't really know as much about at Lakeville, and it's been fun watching. You know, it's an old-fashioned beauty pageant in a small town, but what was really interesting was this year somebody did sort of a historical review of it and contacted a lot of the past Laurel Queens, and universally, the ones that she found all said, this changed my life. This made me a different person. It set my career path for the future. Very diverse. They had people of color, people of all different backgrounds. A really, really interesting tradition for the town of Winsted.
And boys and girls.
Boys and girls. Kings and queens.
Got to go on to the next page, because really, the Sharon Playhouse is back. They had a terrific season. It was really a make-or-break season, I do believe, for the Playhouse, and they made it big time.
Robert and Alan make it seem so easy, and then you look at him and you think, like, well, why couldn't everybody else do this? And you realize, like, oh, actually, it's not that easy, and those guys are really good. So Robert and Alan have taken over running the Sharon Playhouse and have just done a phenomenal job And in an area where people have really strong opinions about what happens at that playhouse, they seem to have put on shows that everybody is okay with. I didn't hear very much grumbling. In fact, I heard no grumbling. And they're continuing to do very interesting little performances through the winter, including a chamber music concert that they did in the Bach Gallery that universally all my classical music friends said was phenomenal and reminded you of what classical music is supposed to be, what chamber music is supposed to be like. And although I'll add in that we have the extraordinary Music Mountain for that too, but doing a great job there. Keep an eye on what they've got going.
The American Mural Project in Beer next.
Oh my gosh, yes, the Mural Project inching forward, and they finished their building, and now they're starting the multi-year process of installing this massive work of art there. The brewery finally opened in Canaan on December 15th, and every single person I've spoken to said it was phenomenal and that it's great, that the beer is really good, that it's really fun. So some people have commented that there's no food there, but that's not completely true. Yeah. The Blackberry River Cafe has opened the Blackberry River Bistro, which is small light plates for dinner. It's a sort of Mexican-inspired street food kind of thing. And you can order your food from the brewery, and Blackberry River Bistro will deliver over there. But people are apparently bringing their own food. And apparently people are bringing their own games, too. And everybody's been talking about the Norbrook Brewery, which is in Norfolk on the road to Colebrook, and also saying that that place is the bomb, that it's really, really great. And a lot of people keep laughing and saying, you know what? You can do a beer tour around here, and it's really fun to take your kids to because there are these big rooms. They're noisy. They're fun to be in. And people bring cribbage games, and they bring Scrabble, and they just hang out and play.
And most of these places do have, like at Great Falls, they brew their own root beer, by the way, as well.
Oh, right.
They brew their own root beer, which is kind of cool. So if you don't want beer, you can have root beer.
And they've made a special point at Great Falls of saying, we're making classic beer for just the guy who likes to pull, you know, open a can while he's watching football, but also some very intensely crafty beers.
All right, now you got a page, your health page deals with gear, building a new nursing home, the changes in Northwest Corner Medicine, Birch Hill.
There's a lot of change going on, and the Charlotte Hungerford thing is very interesting. And even though I think people here tend to feel like, oh, I'm Winstead, but you know, I'm having a hard time finding a new doctor because my doctor, Bruce Ginelli, just retired, and my OBGYN, Bob Schnurr, just retired. And it's been hard to find a new doctor that'll take new patients because not only are people retiring, but, you know, all those patients are now dispersing among doctors who already had full patient rosters. So I'm going to go see Dr. Kip Van Meter, Lakeville Journal advertiser in Winstead, and he may be my new GP. So it's of interest to us what's going on at this new medical center that they're building there. Also gear, which, you know, I think everybody feels that gear is actually really, really a great place to have for your own retirement or for a parent's retirement, but they've always expressed concern about, you know, the highest level of care building where it's really old-fashioned, and they know it over at GEAR. You know, you're sharing bathrooms, you have people, multiple beds in a room. So they finally got permission from the state. They're going to take down that old building and build a brand new one that's really in line with modern practices where everybody gets their own room, everybody gets their own bathroom. The other articles indicating, of course, the HealthQuest changes over at Sharon Hospital, which have been quite rocky, and Birch Hill, which is proposing to take over the Kent, which is a big facility in that town that's been closed down for many years, a former nursing home that just couldn't, you know, cope with the high cost of and the low cost, the low rate of reimbursement. But Birch Hill getting a lot of pushback, and at the moment has been turned down for their certificate of need from the state, and is in the process of appealing it.
All right, on the opinion page, your editorial looking back and forward for Northwest Corner Towns.
Right. We're doing the same thing on our opinion page as in the rest of the paper, reevaluating, looking at what's happened in the towns over the course of the year and where this might lead us in 2019. So take a look and see if you agree with us, so what the important things were that happened in each town and how we think they might end up in the new year. We also have Turning Back the Pages from Norma. Speaking of looking back, she looks way back, and it's always fun. And Dick Ollis looks at Happy New Year, possibly, from the political side. So he's always fascinating. We have a great piece from Carol Asher, on a writer from Sharon, who has learned the joys of being a hospice volunteer. So it's a fascinating piece. Don't miss it. We also have a couple of letters. One on the ZBA in North Canaan, so that's an important one.
You know, and Peter Steiner's cartoon is one of the most biting cartoons that I've that I've seen in a long time. It is simplistic, and yet it cuts right to the core. It really is. I can imagine. I know when I post things like this, the feedback I get, but I appreciate Peter Steiner's cartoons. They really are world class.
Aren't they? And I will say that he was particularly a trooper this week because he drew to the space we had. We had limited space because we kept it small, and he said, okay, give me a shape and I'll draw to it, and he did.
All right. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we turn it over to the woman with the hat on her head.
And it's not coming off.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Compass. And get close to that microphone.
Yes. Compass this week is, I think, is reflecting what we're all doing these days, which is staying home. I've got two television reviews. One is this show called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel,
yep.
And it's in its second season. It's on it's on streaming television. I watch it on Amazon. I think it's an Amazon original.
It is.
Anyway, we have Sophia Kaufman, who's a very good young writer, talking about Mrs. Maisel, and it's definitely worth reading, and I think after you read it, you will want to watch it, as I did. I hadn't seen it until I read her review. We also have a review of the movie Roma, which is full-time on television. I mean, it's streaming right now. It was in the theaters near here, and I don't know if you can still see it in the theaters, but not at the Millerton Movie House. And it's this Mexican director, Cuarón, Alfonso Cuarón, who's kind of done a long, long sort of autobiography all about growing up middle class in Mexico City amidst turmoil, and it's the story of his family, but also the women who take care of him. So read Leon's review, and it's streaming on Netflix. So we can all stay home. We don't have to go anywhere this week. And then we have calendar, but what's interesting in calendar is there's a story about Peter McEachran and Danielle Mailer, who both teach at Salisbury. They've bought a house on Farnham Road, which they've been renovating, and while they were taking things out of it, they found a cache of photographs of a family called the Folks family.
Yep.
And Peter is going to give a talk on Saturday, the 5th of January at 4 o'clock at the Scoville Memorial Library, talking about this history of the black families in Salisbury.
The Folks family, if anybody my age or older is aware of the Folks family, the Chatfield family, which in Sharon, Connecticut, has been. I mean, Barbara is, I think, turned 92 this year, and the Folks and the Chatfields are well known names in this area.
And we at the Lakeville Journal have a special place in our hearts for Ray Folks, who ran our press for 40 years.
Yeah.
He was an amazing man.
So that's, you know, what's interesting about what you said about Anne, about Netflix, and there's a lot of great stuff now that is coming out on these channels, Netflix and Amazon's Prime, that you just wouldn't normally see quickly, and to show the effect that they're having. Bird Box, I mean, people have watched that movie, and now, like most true stupid Americans do nowadays, they go out and they try to walk around with blindfolds on
God.
They say, no, it's called the Bird Box Challenge now. I mean, something is wrong with our country. I always say
it's
this.
Not the country. Wait. It's culture. And it's just no one is sort of requesting, but I mean, it's ever been thus, but no one requests that the bar is a little higher. Like, okay, yeah, go do something stupid. Sounds like fun.
I'm going to start watching the new Coen Brothers series on Netflix, Ballad of Lester Scruggs.
There's
that's good.
The Kaminsky. I mean, there's so much good that's being done as
I have
limited
to say, this
things.
Really absolutely reminds me of when HBO first popped
started,
up. Yeah, it's like, oh, my gosh, which is true.
Yeah.
But
It's great.
Well, we need it because we can't watch TV.
Well, what's interesting about Roma is that it was released simultaneously in the theaters and on Netflix. Most people I know think you should watch it in the theater because so much of it is about the sound. And if you see it at a good theater, it's way different than watching it on TV.
I do have to say there's nothing like sitting in a theater with people who like to watch movies and watching a great movie or even a bad movie. It's just a nice experience.
Well, there's a whole new trend in New York, which I guess I've been up here too long and I wasn't aware of this, but there's all these great theaters where you can go in and you have a chaise lounge. I mean, I went in to see a movie and I thought, I don't really care what movie it is. I'm so happy and so comfortable in this chair. But, yeah, there's a whole trend. And somebody said there's a theater like that over in Harwinton. Has anybody been to that?
I forgot where Harwinton is.
Yeah,
I
know, me too.
Well, we shouldn't forget the Gilson, which has, you know, serves food.
Oh, the Gilson is great also.
Great, yeah.
All right. Well, we are out of time. And welcome back, all.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you.
All right.
Onward.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And, of course, you can get it online here at Robin Hood Radio. Get it online at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.